I was slow. I was slow. I was mesmerized and hypnotized by the movement of the mints in your tin. I don't know why. I just was listening to it.
You can't use that as an excuse.
No, I just was listening to it, and I don't... You are a mint julep. You know that?
Thank you, Wendy.
We got a swag bag from Resurrection University. They brought
with
some stuff
free
up.
Mints. I'd rather get paid in mints than in money.
I know. You were very excited. And it was mellifluous.
Thank you.
I'm really tired today for some reason. But I'm telling you, I think Bradley Cooper and Gaga are going to hook up. That doesn't sound as good.
This is the beginning of the song For Your Love.
Dun, right. Dun. That's very good.
Thank you. Who do you think is going to hook up?
Goo Goo and Gaga. Bradley Cuckoo and Gaga. Let's say that. Bradley Cooper. He broke up with his girlfriend. I know it was announced earlier in the week, last week.
Yeah.
They were together for 4 years. I believe they had a child together. And
oh, is that true? I didn't know that.
Yeah,
really?
I'm pretty sure. She's 33.
Yeah.
She's a Russian model. They've been dating since 2015. Irina Shayk.
Hmm.
And all the tabloids were saying that they were finished. I know that there was a big...
I'm guessing she's beautiful. I'm just taking a shot in the dark on this one. Is she stunning? I don't know what she looks like. I don't think... I'm still getting used to his breakup from Suki Waterhouse, Wendy. I'm just now getting used to that, and that was 4 years ago.
I don't know who that is.
That's another model that he was dating.
Was Bradley Cooper in Wet Hot American Summer?
Yes, he was.
I have just recently watched that. That was one of his first movies, wasn't it?
I think it was one of his first movies,
That's a stupid thing.
Wedding Crashers
like
was one of his first movies. He had a very small role in that. He's always good.
Irina,
Meet the Fockers,
that
one
was
of his
good.
First movies.
Irina Shayk breaks social media silence following Bradley Cooper split. Let's see what she has to say. She's pretty unbelievably beautiful.
Is she beautiful? Yeah.
Yeah, but beauty's only skin deep.
It's only skin deep. I bet inside she's hideous. That's
well,
why he probably found that out.
Irina Shayk isn't staying silent on social media following her split from Bradley Cooper. Now, remember when they appeared at the Academy Awards, Bradley and Gaga were singing Shallow, and
Yes. Everybody
said, oh, my God.
They must be in love.
He is undressing her with his eyes. I don't know who said that, but...
But I could see through that, because if you're an actor, part of our job is to make you believe that we're in love with each other. That's part of our job.
Although she just recently broke up with her fiancé the last week.
That's her pattern. She gets engaged, they break up. That's what she does.
All right, well, on Saturday, Irina Shayk, 33, shared a photo of herself in Iceland on Instagram, the supermodel's first post since the news of her breakup with Cooper, 44, emerged. In the image, she's photographed wearing a gray sweater and socks as she sits on a rock near a lake with surrounding ice. She tagged Italian fashion label Falconeri in the caption along with a snowflake emoji. God, is she pretty.
Yeah, so she's just sitting by a lake now. That's the Russian way of dealing with grief, Wendy. You find a lake and you sit on a rock. That's what we do. I'm part Russian. That's what I would do.
Ouch.
I'm only half Russian. I would sit on a pebble, not a full rock.
And I think they have a kid together, but now I cannot find out.
Oh, I don't know. Do they?
I'm pretty sure.
I didn't know he was a dad. That would be news to me.
Well, you're the Rona Barrett. You should.
Usually, I am given what they call items. Like, I'll have sources call me with an item. But I didn't hear this item.
I thought they had a kid together, but I could be wrong. They've
Here's
been together
an item.
Four
I don't
years.
Know if this is true or not. It says Irina Shayk is the heir of the Shake Shack empire. Is that true?
No.
I don't think that's true.
Let's go, Bradley Cooper. Five fast facts you need to know. Irina Shayk is a Russian supermodel, was the first Russian model to grace the cover of Sports Illustrated in 2011.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's impressive.
She's so pretty. Let's see what else. Shayk believes that every woman is sexy in her own way and that true beauty comes from the inside. So maybe she is beautiful
on the inside.
I've
said that a lot. I've always said that.
She's thrilled to be a mother and says she isn't letting motherhood stop her from dressing how she wants or letting other people do so. Yeah. Yes.
So they do have a baby
together.
Gave
birth to her and Cooper's first child in March of 2017. Daughter Leah Desane. Or Desane, like the river.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she likes bodies of water to quench her sorrows or to name a child after.
Why aren't you writing songs?
I was going to name my, if I had a son, I was going to name him Lake Huron. Do you like that name? Lake Huron.
I like Huron.
No, that sounds too much like urine. Lake Urine. Huron.
Most of the lakes are like that.
I guess.
Yes, they have a daughter, and Gaga has broken up with her fiance. She was engaged to the guy from Chicago Med.
Right. Med?
Or,
it's one of those.
Yeah.
One of the Chicago shows. Terry somebody.
Yeah.
But then she broke up with him and got engaged to a different guy, and then they broke up.
Yeah, now Bradley Cooper's free, people.
I don't think you're going to see that.
You really don't?
Yeah, I don't think so.
I do.
Mm-mm. They were just acting and singing.
They just looked at each other so beautifully, though. I'm sorry. I don't know.
Even bad actors can do that.
Not really.
You don't think so?
Darren never looked at Samantha that way.
First Darren, second Darren.
Especially second one didn't.
Second Darren, I believed more in the first Darren, I'll be honest with you. I just saw First Darren. There's a thing on Netflix.
Dick York?
Yeah, Dick York.
First Darren. Poor
first
guy.
Darren. Not Dick Sargent, second Darren. There's this thing on Netflix, and what it is it's 90 minutes or 2 hours. I can't remember if it's 90 minutes or 2 hours, but it's old like industry films about kitchens. It's the craziest show. It's honestly, the whole thing is, it takes place... It's all the things that you would have seen in the 1950s, like if you were in the business of appliances.
Oh, okay.
So they're
like
showing you like, yeah, they're showing you like in-house kitchen ads that weren't on television, but they were for industry people.
To show what they have to offer in their pet. Why are you watching this? And how did you find this?
You know how Netflix, like if you watch certain things, they recommend other things?
Yeah.
So because what I've watched on Netflix in the past is
infomercials, so they
ridiculous.
Suggested you watch this.
The combination of things that I watch is so ridiculous that they're sending me things like, well, if you like this and this, you'll love inside industry commercials from the 1950s that only people that made countertops would watch. And I'm like, all right, I'll watch that.
But there are celebrities in them, right?
Well, sometimes you get actors that weren't famous yet.
Yeah.
For instance, when I was a kid... The sex ed films that we saw in grade school starred Robert Guillaume, TV's Benson.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember.
So he wasn't
movies.
Famous yet, and he made these
films. Well, that's
these
how he
films.
Got famous.
He made Robert Guillaume, like many actors, you know, you just, whatever job you're offered, you go, yeah, I'll take that job. So it was a job about the reproductive system. And it was with Robert Guillaume, and we're all sitting there like, well, look at Benson knows a little bit of something about this. This is great. So by that same token, when I was watching this thing last week about kitchens in the 1950s, it starred a very, very, very young Dick York.
York.
The first Darren, Dick York.
The only Darren, really, in my eyes.
Yeah. Yeah. Who played a guy that was amazed at how quickly things in the kitchen were looking modern. He was just amazed by that. It was really fun to watch. Because there was nothing about him that you go, if you're the producers of Bewitched, you go, you gotta get that guy. That's the guy that needs to be Darren Stevens. And then after a while, we'll find a different guy and he'll be Darren Stevens.
I'm sorry, I missed that. It's on Netflix. What's it called?
There's a part of Netflix that's called Only Bill Will Watch This. And it's a bunch of movies and TV shows that no one else, even the people in it, were like, ah, I don't know what I was thinking that day. But I'll watch it. I don't mind watching it.
It sounds like, you know, he was amazed that the kitchen could change so quickly. It's like it was a precursor to being on Bewitched because
right.
She could just go beep, 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 beep,
oh,
beep.
I guess you're right. Maybe they used that as his demo tape.
Maybe. They could have.
He probably did.
Did he look astounded? Was he really good
at... He looked frazzled. You know, like he did in Bewitched, like in every episode of Bewitched, he was always put upon. There was too much going on for him.
Yeah.
He couldn't handle that. He knew he was marrying a witch, but he still...
He was crotchety a lot, wasn't he? So irritated.
I think... That's just a guess, because I'm not married to a witch, Wendy. I'm married to an angel. But I would imagine that being married to a witch... Every day, even though you wake up and you go, oh, anything can happen. I can walk downstairs and Benjamin Franklin could be in my living room. It'd be like, imagine John Williams every
day. I was just thinking of him. I was just thinking of him.
You know how John never knows from time to time? Well, maybe I'm gonna walk down the hall and, all of a sudden William Henry Harrison will just be there. It's magic.
She was a pretty witch. She was a good witch.
A very pretty witch.
Yeah, she was really beautiful.
Yeah.
So it's not.
Wasn't she though? I mean, really?
How did he get her? Beautiful. Could you explain that?
I remember in the first few episodes of Bewitched, they were not married yet. And isn't it? It's based on a movie. Isn't it based on Bell Book and Candle?
Is that the movie it's based on? I've never heard anything about that.
It's based on some movie where a guy is courting a woman that he learns is a witch, and then despite those differences, the witch-non-witch pairing, they still fall in love.
What did you say it was?
I want to say Bell Book and Candle, but I could be wrong.
We'll say it.
Bell Book and Candle?
Yes.
Is it?
Both movies, let's see, I Married a Witch was actually based on Smith's book, The Passionate Witch, while Bell Book and Candle was based on The Play of Bewitched.
The Play of Bewitched? Yeah, was that a play?
Yeah, now I'm confused here.
Yeah. I think Bell Book and Candle was a movie. It might have also been a play. I was busy not being born yet.
I never even heard of that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You got the bell, you got the book.
1958.
And I think a candle. I can't remember. 1958, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so if I remember right from my Bewitched trivia days, the first few episodes, they were not married yet. They just met and they were dating. And then at some point, he realizes, because there's so much crazy stuff going on, I think I'm in love with a witch. I'm pretty sure.
Well, I like her in cartoon form, too.
Oh, beautiful in cartoon form.
All right. Creator Saul Sachs was inspired by two movies. He credited on screen as the creator of Bewitched. Yeah, he has admitted in several interviews that his script for the pilot episode was inspired by the films I Married a Witch and Bell Book and Candle. Mm. Sachs wasn't worried that some litigious types might find too many similarities between his TV show and those movies, though. Both films were owned by Columbia Pictures, which in turn also owns Screen Gems, the company that produced Bewitched.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Just borrowing from himself. He wanted Tammy Grimes to play the show's witch. Who's that?
She's an actress. She's good, but she's no Elizabeth Montgomery.
Elizabeth Montgomery she's was too adorable.
Good. Yeah. Not going to beat that. And I don't think Tammy Grimes could have pulled off Serena, I don't think.
Oh, no way.
Not a chance.
Richard Crenna could have been Darren.
That would have been great.
I agree with you.
Richard, with all due respect to the dicks, your sergeant and your York, Richard Crenna, also a dick, would have been great. Politics aside.
Elizabeth Montgomery and her then-husband, producer-director William Asher, were looking for a television project they could work on together.
By the way, who cares? Much older.
Who cares?
He was 80 years older than her. 80. Exactly. To the day.
They encouraged him to look at Sachs' Bewitched pilot script. The Ashers thought the show had possibilities, and Liz signed on to be Samantha. While Grimes was still scheduled to play the lead, a young actor named Richard Sargent was close to being signed on to play Darren Stevens. Sargent took another job while the pilot was in search of a new Samantha, and then he would go on to play Tammy's twin brother on her short-lived show.
Oh.
Richard Crenna was the next actor offered the part of Darren, but he'd just spent several years on The Real McCoy, so he passed as well.
Oh.
Enter Dick York.
Yeah.
Who had an impressive list of acting credits in film on Broadway and in home improvement commercials.
Yeah,
that I enjoyed.
He was great in that.
His 1959 role in They Came to Cordura changed his life forever.
Yeah.
He was in a Twilight Zone, too, I believe.
I think he was.
Dick York had to leave the show because of pain caused by an old injury.
Yeah.
You knew this?
Backache. Horrible backache.
When did he get it?
About a week back. That will always be funny.
I know.
Even when the earth is dead, when the whole planet dies, that'll still be funny.
It kills me every time.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Yes, during the second to last day of filming Cordura, York was operating a railroad handcar carrying wounded men.
Ugh.
When the director yelled, cut, one of the wounded extras reached and pulled himself up on the opposite side of the handle that York was about to upswing. He unsuspectedly lifted the extra's entire weight, and being unprepared for that additional 180 pounds, he tore most of the muscles out of the right side of his back. His spine never healed correctly.
That's horrible.
I wonder he was crabby.
Yeah, wouldn't you be?
Yes.
You would be.
I am. There was no type of surgery that would repair his injuries at that time. Instead, the best the specialist could do was supply him with a steady supply of pain meds.
That's not going to be good.
No.
That's not going to be good at all.
He worked through his severe pain for the first four seasons. In the middle of season five, he was run down and it showed on camera.
Yeah. He looked harried, didn't he?
Yeah. He kind of always seemed
did.
That.
Yeah. Then because of what the plot line was, you could write it off as, well, it's Endor. He's got to deal with his mother-in-law all the time. But in reality, it was his back was coming loose, was separating on him.
And he was on pain meds. And then I guess while filming a scene with Maurice Evans,
who's
Dr. Bombay?
No, Maurice Evans was Samantha's father.
Oh, yes.
Was his name also Maurice on the show?
It sounds familiar.
I think it might have been.
Well, Dick York was filming a scene with Maurice Evans.
Played the Mad Hatter on Batman, too.
Oh, that I remember.
Yeah.
That. He was on a scaffold 15 feet in the air, the hot lights, exhaustion, and
Dr. Zaius. He's also Dr. Zaius. Maurice Evans.
Okay.
I'm just remembering more about him. I should write a book about him.
Well,
hold on, I'm going to write that down.
Dr. Zaius and Darren were on a scaffold 15 feet high in the air.
I'm going to have a dream now.
The hot lights, exhaustion, and medications combined to send York into a seizure.
Yikes.
He was rushed to the hospital and never returned to the Bewitched set.
Why didn't Dr. Zaius help him? He's a doctor.
Some Darren-less episodes were filmed until Dick Sargent took over the role. Did you realize that?
No, I don't remember that at all. I tried to block that out. Because in my head, if you're doing Bewitched, you got to have at least one Darren, maybe two, and Dr. Zaius. Why was it? I mean, I love Dr. Bombay, but wouldn't Dr. Zaius have been a cool guy to just pop in every once in a while than Dr. Bombay? That would have been great.
That would have been good.
Oh, they missed an opportunity.
Elizabeth Montgomery was pregnant during the early filming on the first season.
I do kind of remember, you know how on TV, if you have a woman who's pregnant, but she's not, her character isn't, they always shoot them like they're always behind a desk or...
She just was wearing really loose clothing.
Oh.
And she was pretty thin, so you didn't really notice. And that was the kind of the style back then, you know, like a shift dress.
Yeah.
Also, it was Montgomery's idea to name her character's daughter Tabitha.
Great name for the character.
It is perfect.
Very witchly.
Alice Pierce had terminal cancer when she took the part of the Stevens nosy neighbor. You knew this, Mrs. Kravitz?
That's why there were two Mrs. Kravitzes. There were two. All right. So on Bewitched, you had two Darrens. You had two Mrs. Kravitzes, and you also had two Louises.
Who's Louise?
Well, Louise was Larry Tate's wife.
Oh, right.
There were two, to your credit, there were two Tabithas, but that's because, you know, you couldn't have one kid. You know, they had to have schooling and stuff. So anytime there's a kid that age on a TV show back then, it was twins playing the kid.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that has been our little...
our Bewitched chunk.
Yeah, but it was like Gaga and Cooper
into... I know.
Lady Gaga would make a good Samantha Stevens.
Well, they tried. They remade Bewitched
with
Nicole Kidman, and it was horrible. Did you ever see that?
No.
Yeah, it was really bad. The only inspired casting, it was Will Ferrell played Darren. Nicole Kidman played Samantha.
Where was this? On the big screen?
On the huge screen.
You
could only see it in... Giant screen.
I don't see it.
Steve Carell was Uncle Arthur. That was the only funny thing.
That would be perfect.
That was good.
Well, the Bewitched flashback, What's Hot, What's Cold, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men. We'll take a break, and we're back with news.
Thanks, Jen.
Thank you, John.
I know we're done talking about Bewitched, but I do have to mention one thing really, really quickly. This will be the only time I ever have a chance to say this. There was one episode of Bewitched where, you know how it was often a plot twist on Bewitched that Darren was working on some campaign?
Yes.
And the people over at McMahon and Tate were not happy with something, and they were feuding back and forth, and there was a deadline, and Darren had to get the product out at the very last second, and he always did, usually thanks to Samantha's help.
Yes.
Right. So on this particular episode, the client was a toothpaste company, and their problem was that toothpaste has always been the same. It's been in a tube, and you put it on your toothbrush and your brush, and that's boring, and kids don't want to deal with that. So they came up with this palette, and they would have this spokesperson that was dressed like a French painter.
I remember
this.
And
he would hold the palette, and he could dip his paintbrush in different toothpaste flavors.
To get a mix of colors.
To get a mix of colors and flavors.
This.
And there was chocolate, and there was strawberry, and there was butter. The butterscotch was the one that jumped at me, because I'm like, butterscotch toothpaste, I'm in. I can't tell you how many times I went to the store, and I was a little kid at the time, and I went to the toothpaste section praying that that was a reality. Going, somebody must have seen this episode, and they're going to make this palette of toothpaste flavors. It never happened, but boy, would that have been great.
I think they only have that at the dentist.
The dentist has something like that.
Do you
that.
Want bubblegum?
Yeah.
That's the one I get. I don't like mints. Mints makes my stomach burn.
Really?
I mean, every day when I brush my teeth, I use a whitening mint toothbrush, mm-hmm. but I really rinse it out. But at the dentist, you're in the chair longer, and they brush way better than you do. They do.
Yeah,
they're there for a long time.
Yeah.
I can't stand that mint in my mouth, so
really?
I ask for the bubblegum.
I love going to bed with the taste of chocolate in my mouth. I wish that they had chocolate toothpaste, because I hate
toothpaste.
Like brushing out a cookie or something. That'd be yummy.
Oh, I want chocolate toothpaste. All right.
That butterscotch?
No, the butterscotch seems so...
That seems yummy.
Didn't that say, look, honestly, if that was an option...
I would eat a lot less dessert if they had dessert flavor toothpaste.
Yes.
Just brush your teeth and then you have that flavor.
Wasn't it Crest that did, I think it was still mint, but it was like orange mint or something a while ago? They tried orange mint, didn't they?
They did.
I don't think they do anymore, though, right? That went away?
No.
Orange?
It was weird.
Not fair. All right, Wendy, I have found something for rich people like yourself. I think you'll enjoy this.
Excuse me.
These are, by their standards, the people over at Slice.com, the most expensive things in the world.
All right. I wonder
Jen,
how many I have.
Of course, play along. See if you can guess what these would be, okay? Here's the first one. What do you think would be the world's most expensive pair of shoes that were worn in a film? These are shoes that were worn in a film, and they are now considered to be the most expensive pair of shoes in the world.
The ruby slippers from Wizard of Oz.
Jen, do you have a guess?
I was going to say the Louboutins that Cinderella wore.
Oh, both good choices. Wendy, you're the winner on this one.
Yeah.
The most expensive shoes in the world.
Careful. Are they real rubies?
Valued at, let's see if it says.
Because I don't think they were.
First, I'll tell you what the value is. $666,000 right now.
All right, you're a collector. Would you buy that?
Mm-mm.
It's probably just Mod Podge and glitter.
Mm-mm, probably. The shoes hold the record for being the most expensive ever worn in a film are the ruby slippers worn by Judy Garland in The Wizard of Oz back in 1939.
There's no place like home.
The price tag, they originally sold at auction in 1998. And they set the record then, at the time, in 1998, they sold for $165,000. But they would go on to break another record back in 2000 when Christie's put them at auction. They sold that time for
$660,000.
Wait, so help me with this. In 2000, they sold for $660,000.
Yeah.
That was 2 years after they sold for $165,000.
Right.
But that was at 2000. But now, in 2019, 19 years later, they've only gone up $6,000 in value?
Because that person who bought them in 2000 probably had a really mad foot fetish.
Oh, maybe that's
what
it is.
Well, I mean, it went up so much. Who's really going to pay more to have those now?
Well, it's strange. What was the contract I just saw over the weekend? Somebody's contract for being in a movie sold for $40,000. Just the paper. All it was the paper. Nobody saw it on film, but it's just a mere idea that a guy signed up for a movie. You go, oh, yeah, well, I'll take that for $40,000.
What do you do with that?
I don't know. Believe me.
Bring it out at parties, I guess. Hey, want to see something cool?
But even then, you get a lot of this.
Put these gloves
on. That's nice. What'd you pay for that? How much?
I know.
Must be nice to have that disposable income.
But I wouldn't waste it on that.
You know, there's a bunch of high-end celebrity collectors with sports memorabilia. Charlie Sheen is actually at the top of the list. So Charlie Sheen has like this mini Hall of Fame buys stuff at prices that are, I mean, Charlie Sheen was making $1 million a week when he was doing his TV show, so he's got the money to spend.
Yeah.
But you can't even compete. Like, if you're another collector, you can't compete against that. Nicolas Cage is like that with comic books. He's got the most amazing comic book collection. You can't even come close.
Cool.
What would be the world's most expensive film costume of all time? Something somebody wore in a movie. I'll tell you how much it's worth. See if you can figure it out. $924,000 right now. What would that costume be?
From Gone with the Wind.
Nope.
Oh.
Great guess.
Thank you, Vivian Scarlett Lee. O'Hara. Yeah, yeah, that would be my guess.
That's not it.
It's,
go on.
Mrs. Doubtfire.
No.
Housecoat and wig.
Iron Man suit.
Now, oh!
That's a great guess.
I would love to have that.
Right?
That would be great to have. Wendy, you've rolled your eyes. You wouldn't want to have Iron Man's suit when people walk into the house?
No.
Oh, that would
I guess
be so
instead
impressive.
Of a suit of armor, that would be kind of cool.
Right. To just have the orange and yellow.
Yeah,
or
that
red
would
and yellow.
Be cool.
That would be great. It's the, you know, the black, I hope I'm saying the name right. I always used to say Givenchy, but it's Givenchy, right? Is that how you say it?
Whatever.
Givenchy,
sure.
Givenchy. It's the Givenchy that Audrey Hepburn wore in Breakfast at Tiffany's. The black dress with the, you got a lot of diamonds going on in the collar.
Yeah,
that is now valued at just under $1 million.
That's probably worth it.
Yep. Now, this one isn't from a movie or anything. It's just the world's most expensive watch. It's from a company called Graff Diamonds Hallucinations. And it's a watch that is, it's so colorful. And there's, it's all kinds of jewel. It's bejeweled up the yin-yang, as we say in the,
industry.
Yeah, it's bedazzled and bejeweled. And it sells, or the asking price, it hasn't sold yet, but the asking price is $55 million.
Just look at your iPhone. That'll give you the time.
I have a Swatch that's $29.95, and I think I overpaid on it.
Yeah, because I think they were $25.
The world's most expensive concept yacht is for sale right now.
It is owned by...
Who owns it? It doesn't say anyone's...
Jimmy Buffett.
Jimmy Buffett probably has an expensive yacht.
Yeah.
This particular yacht, the most expensive in the world right now, sells for $240 million.
Owned by the Virgin guy? The Virgin Records
Lake,
guy?
Freddie Laker? Is that his name?
No.
Is that not his name?
No. The Virgin...
What's his
name?
I don't know who you mean.
I don't know why I can't think of it right now.
Richard somebody?
Branson.
Richard Branson.
Yeah. And was Aunt Becky's daughter on that yacht during spring break?
I think she was.
Oh, man.
The world's most expensive private jet can be yours for the miracle low price of just $300 million. You can also rent it for $70,000 per hour.
Oof.
Wow. If you're going to spend that much, just buy it.
The bad news is it used to belong to Ozzy Osbourne, so God knows what's in there.
It's a little messy. The world's most expensive custom telephone is $48.5 million, but I don't know why. It's got pink diamonds. Well, I guess that's why. I would lose it.
So does all this stuff
You wouldn't have one with pink diamonds, I'm sorry.
You would lose it immediately.
But does all this stuff go with you when you die?
No. You can't take it with you, Jen. You know that.
I mean, you would think that if it was a $240,000 yacht.
You should be able to take it with you.
Yeah.
The owner of this, now this is the custom phone that sells for $48.5 million.
What kind of phone is this?
The owner,
I mean, like a cell phone?
It's made by a company called Falcon Supernova. It's an iPhone 6. The pink diamond version. It says the owner of this over-the-top phone is a woman named Nita Ambari. She is the wife to successful Indian businessman Mukesh Ambari.
Her name should be Nita Attention.
The phone itself is a 24-karat gold phone featuring an enormous pink diamond and a platinum coating.
I don't like this. This is stupid.
Wouldn't you still put it in one of those otter cases so that if she falls?
Bill, if you have that much money to get a phone like that, if you break it, you can get another one made.
I would hire a guy to just walk next to me with the phone. The world's most expensive telescope is a $2.1 billion telescope. It's housed at the Hubble Space Telescope Center.
All right, well, that's good.
That
to
one
know.
Makes sense.
That's yeah. not a waste.
The first one that makes
no,
sense.
No, that's yeah.
And that's corporate dollars paying for it. That's not just a private guy or a girl, right? The world's most expensive license plate.
Really?
Is valued at $14.2 million. Shall we find out why? The price tag. The license plate was sold during a special auction by the Emirates Auction Company. It sold for $14.2 mil. The facts. The buyer, a UAE businessman named Saeed Abdul Ghaffar Kohouri, who was quoted as having said at the time, "The price is fair. After all, who among us does not want to be number one?" Well, he gets to say that.
Oh, is it just a license plate with the number one on
it? It's a license plate that has the number one, but it doesn't say why it costs so much. There must be some story behind why the 14.2 mil.
Because the first person who got the license plate got it, and this person wanted that one and paid the money for
yeah?
it.
Yeah? All right. The world's most expensive man-made object on Earth is a hydraulic dam located in...
Dam.
No, the Paranama River. I've never heard of that.
What's that?
The price tag. Let's see if it says where it is. It does not. Jen, you would think that might be included in the story, but it is not.
Yeah.
The Paranama River, the price tag. If you think $19.6 billion is a hefty price tag in today's market, consider this. The Atapu Dam cost, when it was first built back in 1984, roughly the same. I don't know, that doesn't make me feel better or worse.
It's between Brazil and Paraguay.
Oh, it is.
Cool.
World's most expensive headphones can be yours for just $50,000. So far, that's a steal.
Yeah, that's reasonable.
Of all the things I've mentioned so far, that one's the biggest, if you're looking at to save some money.
I mean, we love good headphones around here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you could leave them in the studio. They'd be here the next day.
Well, I bedazzled my own headphones.
You did?
Yeah, yeah, because if I ever left them in the studio, I'd want to know who was wearing around the
right,
purple glitter ones.
Right. I did see Mark Carman had some purple glitter on the side of his head today. I don't know why. It could be unrelated.
Stole my headphones.
World's most expensive motorcycle right now is an $11 million motorcycle sold through the Neiman Marcus Foundation.
That's also a steal.
Neiman Marcus was the one, weren't they the catalog company that every year would put out a Christmas catalog?
Hammacher Schlemmer.
Oh, no, I know Hammacher Schlemmer did also, but didn't Neiman Marcus, who was the one where you could buy an island?
Yeah, I think you're right.
Was that Neiman Marcus?
I think you're right.
It wasn't Sears.
It was not Sears. No,
no,
I know.
But you could buy a house and then assemble it yourself.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think I lived in one.
For a while, I was on the, whoever it was, if it was Neiman Marcus or Hammacher Schlemmer, or maybe it was even a third company, for like 2 years, I was on their mailing list for some reason. I couldn't afford the postage on the catalog. But every year I would look through it and go, is somebody really legitimately going to buy these things, or is it just for show? It's got to just be for show, mm-hmm. right? The world's most expensive bicycle right now is a $500,000 bicycle. It's a Trek Butterfly Madone, M-A-D-O-N-E.
Ooh.
It's a good-looking bike, but half a mil? It's all orange and black.
Like a butterfly.
Not unlike a butterfly.
Mark. Nice.
The world's most expensive television right now can be yours for just $2,250,000. It's a Stuart Hughes Prestige HD Supreme Ross Edition. Does it say the, it doesn't say the size.
What is this? I'm sorry, because I have to tell you that butterfly Trek bike.
Yeah, half a mil.
The artist designed to use real butterfly wings placed onto the actual frame and rims of the bicycle.
Wait, so a bunch of butterflies had to die to make that bike?
That is the world's most expensive bicycle.
Are you now not going to buy one?
Well, that's...
Did you change your mind?
Come on. It's a bike. You don't need to kill butterflies
right.
to make a bike.
So true. Don't they always kill one or two butterflies every time they make a bike? Just because they can?
I think in the process.
I think they do.
So sorry. I had to tell you that because that was just... It's like, why is it so expensive? Well, that's why.
That's ridiculous.
Wendy, this TV that's 2.25 mil... It's not because of the size of it. It's because it's got 18-karat pink gold diamonds.
Okay, guys, you don't need diamonds around your TV.
It just
will glare the screen up.
That's true.
I'm not kidding.
But do you remember a couple years ago, some company, I think at the Consumer Electronics Show, was showing a TV that was like a story and a half. You know how is the average floor 14 feet? Is that about right?
Yeah.
12 or 14 feet. So they were showing one that was like a story and a half for people who had, of course, really, really large houses.
Mm-hmm.
And like it was amazing. The definition on it was amazing. Like this doesn't even go into detail about the picture or the pixels or the quality.
No, because it has diamonds.
That's what, yeah.
I don't want anybody ever seeing me that large.
Right. Oh, I was thinking about that when we had a low def TV or no def actually for a while. And once we got our high def TV and to see these, and this is just my living room.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
To see the anchors, the news anchors.
Yeah.
They all look fine, but I'm telling you, I saw a little more than I needed to see on certain people.
The picture's a lot clearer than you were used to.
I would not allow that to happen. I would make them put Vaseline on the camera. Who did that? Remember?
Sybil Shepherd.
Yes.
Did that.
I think
for
Nancy
moonlighting.
Grace is doing that right now or something.
Maybe.
They're putting a filter on her.
She needs to put a black piece of paper over it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Barbara Walters also on
The
View.
Yes.
She was.
It would just soften the look a little bit because I can't believe. And then to go to a movie theater and see these people.
Yeah.
Right.
Why do they agree to being a movie star now?
When I was at WLS, before you were at WLS.
I was there too.
And before you, I think, Wendy, right?
Yes.
I think. All right. It was when they switched over from regular broadcast TV to HDTV, and they quickly learned in the studio there at WLS that the set, which in some places was just masking taped together, everything had to be revamped and made nice again because you could see, like, even though it was clear tape and you couldn't see it to the naked eye on TV, in HD, it was glare. You couldn't help but notice it.
We have, one of the first HD TVs ever made.
Oh,
and so whenever I'm on, my husband will take pictures and I'm like, okay, not so bad, but they'll call my cousins who have brand new, huge HD TVs. I'm like, so what did you see? Like, are there wrinkles? Are there zits?
Right.
What's going on?
Did I have a booger in my nose?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I can't believe. And that's like so many people have these high quality TVs.
Yeah. So there's no more skimping anymore.
Can't
you have
hide
to,
it.
You have to look your absolute best.
Got
to
look your real age.
Thank you for hanging out, Jen.
Thank you.
We appreciate
guys.
It. We'll come back in a little bit and we'll close things off.
All right, well, that does it on this Monday edition of the Bill and Wendy Show.
What about tomorrow, Wendy? What are your plans?
That will be the Tuesday edition.
We'll do Tuesday tomorrow, and then we'll see what happens after that. And play it one day at a time. Right, Ann Romano?
That's right, Schneider.
Thank you. We reversed roles, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
All right, that's it. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Greatly appreciate it. Come back tomorrow. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.